We are proud to announce a new sponsor for this podcast, Auggie's Locker Room. Auggie's Locker Room, which is located less than a mile away from Notre Dame Stadium, was named the best Notre Dame's collectible shop in the country. This shop is amazing. If you are a passionate Notre Dame fan and are looking for that special Notre Dame piece to complete your rec room, Auggie's is the place to go. They have a wide selection of Notre Dame Stadium pieces, jerseys, helmets, autographs, and one-of-a-kind Rockne items. They have an exclusive Joe Montana signed items. If Auggie's doesn't have it in store, he will find it for you. Visit AuggiesLockerRoom.com or stop in at 1811 South Bend Avenue and see the vintage helmet display dating back to 1890. AuggiesLockerRoom.com or call 574-277-NDND.
Tyler Horka, who's normally on Wednesday, moves up a day. He's kind enough to join me to talk some Notre Dame football right now on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Well, I guess a Texas guy can handle this South Bend warm weather like it's nothing. Piece of cake.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to lose some of that, I don't know what you would call it, protection that I've, you know, that are in the genes after growing up in Texas for 22 years. But yeah, it's a little hot, but it's definitely hotter in Texas today. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. We're just not used to it around here. We've had such a cool spring and summer so far, but here we go with some warmer weather and just in time for Notre Dame football fall camp to get started in just a couple of weeks. And Tyler, you're the Notre Dame football beat reporter for Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Let's go right into what is going to be a featured topic throughout the month of August, or until the point where Marcus Freeman steps up to the microphone and says, blank is my starting quarterback for Ohio State. You've got Drew Pine and Tyler Buchner looking to become the starting quarterback. I think most of us agree Buchner is the favorite. Pine is pushing him. How do you think this quarterback situation or derby plays out throughout the month of August?
I'm sorry, Darren, my headphones just cut out on me, but I think I know where you were going with that question. Look, Tyler Buchner has been the guy since Jack Cohn left after the Fiesta Bowl. That's where this thing has been headed. We had, you know, a month and a half or about a month there in the spring to solidify that stance, if that's what you thought. And I think pretty much every single media member on the Notre Dame beat would agree that, you know, Tyler Buchner is probably number one, Drew Pine is number two, and that's the way it played out in the spring. Obviously, Marcus Freeman did not say that Tyler Buchner is the starter coming out of spring. And in fact, Patrick Engel, my coworker, and I sat in his office, this might have been 2 or 3 weeks ago now, at the end of June, and, you know, asked him pointedly, did you have a number one coming out of the spring? And he said, no, it's still an open competition. So obviously that's going to carry into fall camp, which starts on August 5th. There's still something that Freeman is looking for from Buchner, probably. There's still something that Tommy Rees is looking for from Buchner, but I think it's more so of they're looking for reasons why Drew Pine can't, you know, weasel his way back into this and say, what about me? They want to make sure that when they say Tyler Buchner is our starter, they are 100% on board with that. There is no substitute. Drew Pine did all he could, but he's just not better athletically, throwing the ball, whatever it is, than Tyler Buchner. Like I said, I think that's where this is headed. And it's going to happen at some point. Again, my headphones cut out, so I don't know if you asked me a time frame. But if you look at last year, it's pretty similar with Jack Cohn and Drew Pine, in that everybody knew that Jack Cohn was going to be the guy, even if Brian Kelly hadn't said it yet. And I think it was a week and a half into fall camp, maybe 2 weeks into fall camp, he came out, he said it. He says, we've seen all we need to see. It would not shock me in the slightest if it was a similar time frame with Tyler Buchner and Drew Pine, where Marcus Freeman gets up there, maybe the second time he speaks to us during fall camp and says, yeah, we've seen it. We know it. Tyler Buchner is going to be our starting quarterback against Ohio State.
So, Tyler, do you think Drew Pine is locked in as the number two? Do you see any competition pushing him for that number two spot if everything else plays out the way you just described?
I think there's certainly competition. Steve Angeli, the true freshman, looked great in the blue gold game. And I remember showing up on the first day of spring practices, and I saw Steve Angeli standing next to Drew Pine, and I was like, whoa, one of these guys looks like he could start a college football game tomorrow. The other looks like Drew Pine. And again, this is nothing against Drew Pine. I've actually been a proponent of his. If you go to blueandgold.com, read the message board. I love his moxie. I love what he did against Wisconsin last year, throwing a touchdown pass to Kevin Austin Jr., threw a touchdown pass to Braden Lindsey against Cincinnati in a losing effort that wasn't of any fault of his own in that game. He is what I would call a very capable backup. If Tyler Buchner gets dinged up, which his playing style, that's certainly not out of the question, you'd love to have a guy like Drew Pine who could come in and maybe stabilize a game if you're winning and get you to the finish line or mount a comeback. If you remember, I think Cincinnati was winning by 2 or 3 scores when Drew Pine came in, mm-hmm. and he got it to a 1-score game. So that's what you're looking for in a backup if you're calling on that guy. But I do think at some point, whether it be because of injuries or whatever other wackiness that happens with college football quarterback situations, we see it all the time, Steve Angeli could factor into this thing early on in his career just because of the way he looks right now. He also carries himself very well. And he's a guy that, you know, if you're a true freshman and you're already number 3 and there's some people talking about how you should be number 2, you're in a pretty good spot. So I would like where Steve Angeli is at if I were Steve Angeli.
He's Tyler Horkin, Notre Dame football beat reporter, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com, talking Notre Dame football on Budweiser's weekday sports beat on WSBT Radio. Now, recently I asked you what offensive player you were most interested in seeing in fall camp, and you surprised me with your answer, but after hearing your explanation, I totally get it. I'm on board. You mentioned freshman wide receiver Tobias Merriweather, someone you have not seen in person. So now let's go to the defensive side of the football. Al Groh's defense. Give me the defensive player you're most interested in seeing in fall camp.
This one isn't as much of a wild card, but it's another true freshman. So there's something about freshmen. When you say the word freshman football player, fans are like, ooh, I think it's the intrigue. I think it's the suspense and the, you know, anticipation of what a player could be. I'm going to go with Jalen Snead, the linebacker. If you remember when the signing class was wrapped up, everyone was talking about Jalen Snead and like, oh my goodness, this is the top-ranked player and a very good Notre Dame recruiting class. You know, he's going to be that linebacker that is just flying off the edge, playing in the middle if you need him to. He could line up on the line and rush the quarterback. He could do all these different things. I showed up at spring practice, and I was kind of like, where's Jalen Snead? Which one is Jalen Snead? Somebody give me a number. I can't find Jalen Snead. So I think he was a little – and the size thing, everyone talked about it coming in. He needed to bulk up, probably still needs to bulk up. You could say that about a lot of true freshmen, especially early enrollees. So, you know, I'm not harping on him for his size, but you got to, you know, weigh all of the factors here, and this is Notre Dame football, and you know you're playing Ohio State in week one, and you got to play Clemson and USC and all these different teams. So long story short, I'm excited to see Jalen Snead because I'm hoping his body composition is a little different than what it was in March and April. These kids, I don't know what they feed them, but you know they're feeding them weights and they get big very quickly. If I could do that, I probably wouldn't be talking on your radio show at you know, on a Tuesday night. Maybe I'd be playing sports somewhere, but that's a whole different conversation. I want to see Jalen Snead look better than he did in the spring, you know, plain and simply. I want to see a guy who, when I see him practice, I'm like, yes, this is that guy who, when the signing class wrapped up earlier in the year, everyone was saying, that's going to be the guy. We didn't see that in the spring. I think a lot of fears will be, you know, mitigated if we see it in the fall.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think you could go a lot of different directions with your answer based on all the different packages you could see this year, all the different personnel. I'm kind of curious to see the corners that are not atop the depth chart, how much they've advanced since last year. Can they make an impact this year, a guy like Barnes? So on the defensive side of the football, with all the different packages that Al Groh can come up with, I mean, there's just so many bodies that could play an important part in this defense having success this year.
Absolutely. You mentioned Ryan Barnes. That is definitely one of them. Another guy that I was excited to see in the spring, and he wasn't my answer for your question just now because I saw enough in the spring, was Riley Mills.
Yeah.
And if you say, okay, yes, he's our strong side defensive end, and then you couple the fact that Isaiah Foskey is your Viper on the other side, that's awesome. How about a Jason Adamalola, who we didn't see practice in the spring, but it sounds like, you know, he wasn't even mentioned by Marcus Freeman when we were in his office a couple weeks ago on the injury front. So, I mean, I'm expecting him to be a full go in fall camp. And if you remember what he did last year, I think he had the most quarterback pressures of anyone on the Notre Dame defense, and that's including Foskey, who led the team in sacks with 13. Jason Adamalola hurried the quarterback more than Foskey. So, if you're remembering that, you know, you're adding that to the mix, there's three guys on your defensive line who are, you know, top of the class. Everyone was talking about how Notre Dame could have one of the best defensive lines in the country. I think you're finally going to see that this fall when all these guys finally get to line up next to one another. And obviously you have to replace Kurt Heinisch as well, but I think Jacob Lacy is capable there, and you've got a lot of other interior guys. So, well, you started this conversation by mentioning some of the defensive backs, and we finished it by talking about the defensive line. I think that shows you how capable this defense is going to be in Al Golden's first year as defensive coordinator.
The Superbook at Westgate Las Vegas says the team that has been bet on the most to win the national championship in college football is the USC Trojans. They're called America's team. I'm not sure when USC became America's team, but that's what they were labeled by someone today. Now, obviously, that is a lot of West Coast money that is hoping and dreaming of a huge season with Addison and Williams, all these offensive weapons coming to USC. The problem is with Oklahoma through the years, and you know more about Oklahoma being from that area, you know, they've had some great weapons, but their offensive and defensive line sometimes get a, I don't know, not stellar, I would say, especially on the defensive side of the football. So if we're playing 7-on-7, USC could win the national championship, but since we're still doing 11-on-11, that is, I think, a lot of people wasting their money. Eventually, I'm going to ask you a question. It's this. Who do you feel like is the tougher opponent for Notre Dame this year, Clemson or USC?
Well, I want to say something real quickly to what you said at the very beginning there. And I can tell you that USC was not America's team in January of 2006 when Texas was playing them in the BCS national title game. I'll just get that out of the way. To answer your question, I think these two teams are really dangerous, and you know, people have been throwing stones at me on the message board at blueandgold.com because of it, because I think Clemson's going to be a lot better than people are giving them credit for. So we'll start there. They're going to figure out the quarterback situation. Either DJU is going to be a lot better than he was last year, or Cade Klubnik's going to be a very capable freshman. We see it all the time in college football now. You know, 15 years ago, people were probably afraid to start true freshmen at quarterback, right? Tim Tebow didn't even start as a true freshman. Colt McCoy, all of these other guys. Now it's like, throw him in. You know, you're only going to get 3 years or maybe two if he transfers, all this other stuff, put him in there. So maybe Cade Klubnik is the guy, but maybe the offensive line is better and DJU could be the guy. All that said, that Clemson game is going to be tough because they might have one of the best defenses in college football. And we saw what Georgia did with the best defense in college football a year ago in an offense that was pretty good, but not elite by any means. So I am a little worried from a Notre Dame perspective about USC because it's in Los Angeles. It's the last game of the year. Who knows what the stakes are going to be for that game for both teams. Maybe it's high stakes for both teams when you talk about the Pac-12 and maybe Notre Dame trying to make it into the college football playoffs. So if I had to pick one of them, I'd probably say USC. because of the offensive weapons, because it's out there, because it's the last game of the year. Lincoln Riley is you don't want to get into a shootout with Lincoln Riley. And if the question mark with Notre Dame is maybe one of the corner spots, and even the corner spot you feel good about, Cam Hart having to go against Mario Williams and Jordan Addison and some of these other guys, if that's your worry and you think it might get into a shootout, well, I think Notre Dame is going to lose a shootout against Ohio State in week one, you know, and maybe that's a blueprint for what USC could do in the final week of the season. There's a long way until Thanksgiving weekend, and quite frankly, there's a long way until Notre Dame plays Clemson, too. I think that game is in November as well. So we're going to learn a lot in September and October, but right now I would say this: those are both very dangerous teams. I would say USC might be a little more dangerous on the road, and being that it's the season finale.
If I'm not mistaken, November 5th could be a big day for the Irish. The Irish are taking on Clemson, and Irish fans might get to enjoy Alabama-LSU also on that particular day, because I think we know how that game is probably going to end up. All right, final question for you, Tyler. On the Notre Dame schedule, what game do you feel like is going to be tougher than most people expect?
That's a really tough question, because I feel like this Notre Dame schedule is a lot like a lot of other Notre Dame schedules. And we saw it last year. Going into it, you know what the hard games are going to be. It's Ohio State, it's USC, it's Clemson, BYU. And I would pick this as the answer to that question, but I think people are already expecting it to be a tough game. So in theory, it can't be the answer. And then all the other games, I think Notre Dame fans look at it and they're like, we can win. You know, what is that, 8 games? Marshall, Cal, Stanford at home especially. I think Notre Dame fans are all saying we can win those. So I'm going to say it's the classic trap game where Notre Dame has to go to upstate New York, a game that is not – there's not going to be a lot of fanfare. Syracuse is Syracuse. The week before that, they had to come back home and play Clemson, who I told everyone earlier, I expect to be really good. So the game that people are probably overlooking and is going to be a little tougher than some expect might be Syracuse. And it's not even because Syracuse has personnel that's scary. I think their starting quarterback is actually someone that I covered at Mississippi State, Garrett Schrader. He might be a fifth-year senior or something at this point. He doesn't scare me. I've covered him for a couple of years in college football. He's a gamer. He'll put his body on the line, but he's not going to beat you with his arm. And, you know, we were just talking about that's what's scary from a Notre Dame defensive perspective. The game is scary because you got to go up there and play that team in that environment a week before, you know, one of your biggest games of the year, probably the biggest home game of the year for Notre Dame. So I don't really like Syracuse. I don't think they're that good of a football team, but I also don't like Notre Dame having to go up there and playing that team, you know, in that part of the schedule.
Tyler, that $1 deal, is it still going on at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com?
It is. Go to blueandgold.com and you get 1 year of premium access. The message boards, it's mid-July and the message boards are crazy. That has a lot to do with Notre Dame recruiting, and that's just another reason to go to blueandgold.com right now and sign up. I know you mentioned that Mike Singer is on vacation, but when he's not on vacation, he's working extremely hard to bring Notre Dame fans every ounce of information on the recruiting front, and you know that's what kind of feeds our site. People are loving what's going on with Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame recruiting right now. And if you're a Notre Dame fan, I don't know why you wouldn't. Got the number one in class in the country right now. That's pretty stout, and we cover it from top to bottom. So go to blueandgold.com. And I think, I don't have the exact numbers, it 46, 45 days. It's a month and a half. We're a month and a half away from Notre Dame football. So get in while you can. It's going to be an exciting season, and we're going to cover it like nobody else.
He is Tyler Horka, the Notre Dame football beat reporter, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Thanks for joining me a day early, and we'll talk to you in your regularly scheduled spot next Wednesday at 6:07 here on WSBT Radio. I'm looking forward to that conversation.
All right, Darren, sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tyler Horka, read all about it right now. Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Tyler has you covered on everything happening with Notre Dame football. There's Notre Dame basketball, Notre Dame baseball, a lot of things happening right now with Notre Dame sports, even though it is July the 19th. It is 6:29. Darren Pritchett with you. More Budweiser's weekday sports beat coming up in a moment on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
I'm Dan.